The whole point to practice is the transformation of your life. It isn't to have a psychedelic experience. Psychedelic experiences, you can go drop some acid, drop some ecstasy, smoke some dope. I'd probably talk you out of shooting heroin or doing crack or something like that. All the rest of it is an exercise in futility. And this from an old hippie. See, the point to practice, see, this isn't a religion. See, this is the transformation of your life. See, and so long as you somehow or another sit divorcing yourself from your life in your expectation about something big out here, see, you will miss the most important thing. The most amazing thing in the universe is you. See, but not in the petty little egocentric way, trapped in the six senses, that you think of yourself. See, my teacher, whom I consider to have been the foremost Zen master of his era, and probably for quite a period of time, there wasn't anyone quite like him. If you would have sat with many of the teachers that I sat with over the years, and you would listen to them talk, and then you would listen to my Izumi Roshi talk, the difference was quite obvious. And then if you were a serious student, and you could enter into deep samadhi, that's where you would begin to experience the most profound teachings that Maizumi could give. Very few people, I have heard very few people, Kori Roshi, who spoke no English, and yet held Doksan with me, and I don't know what language we held it in, because I found only last year that he had translators with him. He never had a translator with me. But I did, even at that time, appreciate that his talks were given to me in Technicolor. Now, don't ask me to explain anything more, but I have a very vivid memory during Sesshin of laying there on my back, looking up at the ceiling and thinking, this doesn't feel right. How did I hear a talk in Technicolor? But that's the only way I could describe that. And with Maizumi Roshi, no matter how deep you went into the samadhi, you would find him there and giving profound instruction. And particularly, I can say, and only with myself, he managed to guide me past pitfalls that many people will slip into, particularly if you begin to cultivate deeper levels of samadhi. And there is a criticism, see, of those who seek, see, this deep stillness, they call silent illumination, see, to shut down everything. See, and can you experience that level? Yes, you can. See, it's called Daikensho. The samadhi can be held so finely focused that everything drops away. See, I hesitated to talk about some of this, then I started, because the more I would read, the more things became available. I realized some of the great Chan masters of the past had talked about this. And one of the most eloquent expressions of the experience comes from the great Hong Zhe. See? And in this deep, deep state of samadhi, see, where all things drop away. See? And you can't make this up. People would try to come in. See, and I've had people come in and to try to talk to me about the deep stillness. And they'd literally come in and say, now in yoga I'm experiencing it. And then I say, no, no, you're closing your eyes and you're just looking at images on the back of your eyelids. And you're trying to hold a blank space. No, no, this is so vibrant. And if you pass through this, you will understand why it is called Daikensho. Daikensho. Now, does everyone have to go through this? I don't know. Hakuin Zenji talks about it. Toray talks about it. Wang Po talks about it. Rinzai talks about it. Dogen Zenji talks about it. Hong Zhe talked about it. And my teacher talked about it. But I'm not convinced that everybody has to go through in that way. I think people can pop into the realization, see, this awakened state. And now that you're here, get very quiet again while we're talking about this. See? Very quiet. Don't try to understand anything. Simply sit here in mirror awareness. See, nothing going on. You don't have to understand this talk. See, all you have to do is sit here in stillness. Again, let me just reinforce samadhi. See, it seems there's a lot of confusion out there about what samadhi is. See, samadhi isn't some fancy little kind of a side trip you get into. Shakyamuni Buddha and every one of the great Chan masters, down to my teacher, would tell you the same thing. What is the difference between a sentient being, everybody in this room is a sentient being, and a Buddha? Well, let's define, what is a Buddha? Buddha simply means awake. And if we use it in the personal, see, Buddha means an awakened sentient being. What is the difference? What is the difference? Why do we have sentient beings? And why do we have Buddhas? What is the difference? It's spelled out very clearly. Shakyamuni Buddha said, the difference simply is upside down thinking. Upside down thinking. How simple that is. Upside down thinking. See, thinking, see, that you can somehow, see, think your way out of thinking. See, the great Huang Po, the teacher of Rinzai, see, how did he describe? He said you have to push through the wall of duality. Now sit quietly. Do you experience yourself as separate from the people sitting with you? Of course you do. Some of you more, some of you less. See, but you actually, see, experience yourself as separate from me, from the walls, from the sounds. See, that is the wall of duality in the three great poisons. That's called ignorance. Modern quantum physics knows that this is an illusion. That's why I bring that in on occasion. See, so you sit here aware, see, of the state of separation. Wang Po said you have to push through the wall of duality. See, that's the duality. You are caught in the skin bag. See, you're caught in the skin bag, and you're caught in this skin bag because of the six senses. You're seeing, you're hearing, you're smelling, you're tasting, you're thinking, you're feeling, and the brain is processing this, and it's projecting this illusion of separation. See, now, we're not going to push that too far, but just be aware, Huang Po said you have to push through that. Now, what is keeping you trapped, see, in that, what do they call that, skin bag? See, in the six, what's keeping you trapped in that? You're thinking. So Huang Po says you have to push through. This is the teacher of Rinzai. Remember, Rinzai, the koans, dynamic. See, you have to push through the wall of duality. He is asked, how do I do that? He says, you don't think about your thoughts. How simple. See, but good luck. Try it. See, this is what we're working on. You don't think about your thoughts. If you're not thinking about your thoughts, what kind of a state are you in? You're in a state of non-distracted awareness. Non-distracted awareness. Are you aware? Can you hear the dogs? Do you feel your knees? Do you feel your back? Are you aware of your breathing? See, are you hearing this talk? See? Are you talking to yourself? See, are you making an analysis? Are you trying to understand? Non-distracted awareness, see, is always here. See, you can't leave the state of non-distracted awareness, but you can just simply be in a confused state. The state of non-distracted awareness is what? They call it mirror awareness. Sit here like this. Now sustain this. Don't make any evaluations on the dog. Don't make any evaluations of what you think your neighbors are experiencing. Certainly, don't make the mistake of thinking you know what my intention is. You only know your own thoughts. See, he says, don't think about your thoughts. He doesn't say to suppress the thoughts. If I am in a state of non-distracted awareness, I'm simply sitting here. Now, let's carry that into our practice. If I'm sitting shikantaza, just sitting, it means literally just to sit. Now sustain that. See, mirror awareness. If you think, set a mirror up here. See, a mirror isn't judging. A mirror has no expectations as to what's going to be reflected. A mirror simply reflects things as they are, suchness, thusness, this. Now, if any of you just have tried this, you saw you could hardly hold it. See, it took Roshi, at least his words to me, 45 years, and he began to sit Shikantaza. We said, oh my God, I don't know whether it's worth investing that much time. Of course it is, because right now we're trapped in a small pond. We have lost each training period. We see people leave. And in this room, some of us won't be here. See, and we don't know how long. Some of us have been practicing for a long time, but Wagyu wasn't here. My good boyfriend Head, a friend, Charlie Naylor, Goshen. See, he sat right where Kogan is. See, he's not here anymore. See, this is the reality, the rising and falling, the rise. We don't know. So what you have to do is to cultivate time. See, if for those of you who want to play with time, read Tom Campbell's first book. He deals with time in there as how time comes into being. See, what is time? See, time has no relevance in a state of absolute samadhi. Deep samadhi is this non-distracted awareness. Now, most people, Shikantaza is extremely difficult. See, and the reasons it's extremely difficult is because we are habituated to our fantasies, see, to our daydreams. We want to go and continuously process the past as if something can be taken care of that has passed 20, 30 years ago. You can't resolve those issues. Give it up. Some of you go through the same process over and over again. When you sit down in this retreat, this beautiful long retreat, see, give up doing psychoanalysis on yourself. Don't continuously relive, see, you're bitching and moaning about your parents or past partners or lovers or whatever. See, come into the now, because that's all there is. The fantasies of the past are fantasies. See, grasp this, that you can't even prove that yesterday existed. You can only talk about shadows, and we have to make something up. You can't even prove, see, the things that you were complaining about when you were 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. See, and lawyers make a good living betting on the fact that your memory is faulty. See, it isn't the way you think it is. How is it? Come right here. Now, the difference again, we'll go into definitions because the mind, our mind, likes a definition. See, what's the difference between a Buddha and a sentient being? Every one of the Chan masters will say the same thing. See, a Buddha and a sentient being, the same thing, except that a Buddha never leaves samadhi. Some of them will say, a Buddha never leaves samadhi 24 hours a day. Never leave samadhi 24 hours a day. What about sleep? See, what is samadhi? A state of non-distracted awareness. Now, again, we talk about it from the perspective of Shikantaza, but let's talk about it from the perspective of a koan. See, now I think personally today, now that I've gotten old and I've put my 45 years in, see, and I need another 45 before I can sit Shikantaza, see. But the fact of the matter is, see, I think the Japanese model of samurai Zen, and this is essentially what I was trained in for the first 15 years, see, the screaming, the shouting, the kiyosaku, see, and push, 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 see, and we would push. See, I would push on one occasion, 5 days and 5 nights, and all I started doing was passing out. I was hallucinating. See, and being an old hippie, I knew what hallucinations were. And I realized I hadn't ingested anything, so I thought, you're in trouble. See, you're in some serious trouble here. You don't fall over. See, we had, the last session, we had a lady pass out here. But she also had some amazing experience. If you had heard what she had to say about when she went home, this ordinary world had taken on. See, because she really committed herself. Now, we don't want people passing out. You don't need to do that. I did it for everyone. And it's not what works. But what it was this was the Japanese style of push, push. No, see, and that is a misunderstanding of the practice. And what did it produce? Very little. In our line, on both our Rinzai line and our Soto line, both of the teachers were critical of Japanese Zen, and they called it Buji Zen, and it was dead Zen. The great Yang Wu, Engo, and for the Japanese, the great Yang Wu, compiler of the Blue Cliff Record, see, how does he describe what your practice is? It is to relax and release. Relax and release. The great Dogen Zenji says, Zazen is simply the doorway, see, to repose and bliss. Now, let's make it that way. So what you do when you work with a koan, simply sit with the koan. Don't argue with yourself. Are you working on it in the correct way? See, what you do is become one with the koan. Literally. See, throw away all of the, I'm not doing it right. It's not working for me. I can't do this. It's too hard. I'm having headaches. No. Simply, in a state of non-distracted awareness, focus on the koan. Become the koan. I was telling someone today that I always, when we have a shuso or a head trainee here, I always work the koan with the student, even though I have done them all. See, I love to go back. And one of my favorite koans, and you've all heard me, was Mushoku's, the old woman of Mount Tai. See, and for me to work on that, and I was trying to explain, to work on that koan, see, Joshu is asked by a monk about this woman, see, who's tweaking the noses of the young monks who come looking for Mount Tai. And this is where Manjushri, I believe it's supposed to be up there, see, and you go to this mountain for enlightenment. Well, do you know where the mountain for enlightenment is? See, if you actually grasp this Buddha Dharma, do you know where that mountain is? And this is the koan. And this old woman would say, go straight on. See, go straight on. And Roshi told me there was probably a fork in the road, went up, and she would point, go straight on. And the monk would turn to leave, and she'd say, ah, poor monk, going off like that also. See, going off looking for what? See, now, I work that koan, and that koan, my Dharma, great-grandfather, Harada Roshi, said it took him eight, and he was something of a genius, took him 8 years to see that koan clearly. But I was telling the person this morning, I can tell you how Joshu got from his monastery to where this old woman was. I can tell you what the dusty yard looked like that was in front of where she had this little ramshackled sort of just boards and sticks thrown together, this tea house. And under this, what appears to be a giant oak, how he got off. He got there because he was given a ride. See, and he walked over with his walking stick and he sat down on this rustic bench. See, and he watched. He went, what is in there? See, and then he goes in. See, and this is, the koan becomes alive. You become one with the koan. The koan unfolds. And at a level, if you're really focused, see, and again, it isn't crazy talking to yourself. It's you have become this koan. See, and at that level, it will turn. The answer is there. And it's not arrived at through an intellectual process. And it's an exquisite experience when the koan actually turns like that. Very few people work koans at that depth. Those of you who went to China, you found when you were with the Chan masters there, what were they saying? A handful of koans in a lifetime for most people. Kori Roshi told me that for most, maybe 20 koans in a lifetime. Some of them, 3 or 4 koans in a lifetime. Because you can answer, like this koan, I answered this koan for Roshi. But again, I saw it in a more profound way. What an amazing, and so simple. See, so simple. As you begin, see, to explore in a state of non-distracted awareness. Now, if it comes to your breathing, the breathing, this isn't baby practice. Very few people. See, we have somebody just recently who had a rather nice adventure with her breathing, genders out, her breathing, see? And all of a sudden, beginning to forget yourself. In non-distracted awareness, if I'm following my breath, I'm only following my breath. I'm not in a conversation with myself about, am I doing it right? I'm simply doing it. My whole body fills with emptiness. This is mirror-like, but aware. If I say to myself, but I want something more, maybe if I push harder, you're then leaving the realm of non-distracted awareness. It should be effortless. Roshi would say, it should flow like water. If it's counting, non-distracted awareness is simply counting. There should be no turmoil. See, don't try to produce something. Simply focus on your practice. See, with your full attention. Some of us, when we start, and certainly this was my story, tore myself up, particularly working on my first koan. See, and again, many people who have a lot of energy and deep commitment will do that to themselves. But the point is the focus, not to see if you can tear yourself up, but it is to bring the mind into this disciplined single point of concentration, non-distracted awareness. And if it's counting the breath, it's just, then I relax and I sustain it. Then I release it. Then I relax. Then I release it. Three. Relax. Three. Four. It becomes beautiful. And it deepens. And it becomes drawn out. And it becomes quiet. See, and at some point, if you maintain that, and as the mind chatters, you simply come back to it, you simply come back to it, then an amazing thing begins to happen. The breathing, as Roshi would tell me, allow the breathing to breathe you. See, and then, and this is where this person was. She says, Nyogen, this was so amazing. And there's just like flowing water, just you are no longer trying to control anything. You are sitting in a state of non-distracted awareness. And there's just this most amazing movement. And it just seems like everything drops away. And you can just sustain it. No expectations. This is the greatest obstacle that we have to overcome.